Please join me in the reading of God's Word as we find it in Romans chapter 1, reading verses 28 to the end of the chapter. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Lest you think that this is the only message that we have from God's Word, I would also remind you of the 16th verse of this chapter, where Paul stated in the beginning of this epistle, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Even for those that have the sins that were just read, remember that it is only that we are worthy of death, not that everyone will receive death. Those that believe on the Lord Jesus know that He bore our death, and He died in our place. Let's give God thanks for that, as well as pray that we'll understand the words of the last part of this first chapter of the book of Romans. Our Father in heaven, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, Thy Son. We acknowledge that He alone is the way, the truth, and the life, that He is the door into Thy presence in love. And we pray, Father, that not only will we be made to look to Thee through Him, but also, Father, that we might be dealt with because of Him, that it may be true of us as it was of Israel of old, when we read, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." We give thanks that that blood of Christ was shed on Calvary's cross. We give thanks, Father, that we can plead that blood and the righteousness of Christ now for ourselves and for others. And we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit might be given to us because of Christ, that He might lead us into the truth of these words as we need to know them, both for ourselves and for others, that we might know that it is the Scriptures, Thy Holy Word. We give thanks, Father, for every part of it, and teach us that we are to live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from Thy mouth. And these words that are awful category of our sins, we pray that in humbleness we might be able to receive them rightly, in repentance, in sorrow, in acknowledgement that Thou art holy and just and good, and we are sinful before Thee. We ask it all through Christ. Amen. As we continue in this portion of the Holy Scriptures, let's pray that God will teach us these things which are so much ignored and mocked at. One, in holding to these things today and saying they are evil, they are wicked, might be called ultra-right or an extremist. But this is God's perfect way. This is the straight and narrow way. This is the way that we must learn if we are ever to enter into the way of life, not just by learning of these sins or how sinful these things are, but in realizing them, that we will go toward life, that we will enter into the way of fleeing from the wrath to come. When the Lord Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it," I believe He includes those who know these words are true and then want to enter into life instead of have what we deserve, or as we read, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, both who actually commit them and those as well, as we read in the last part of that 32nd verse, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. When I read that last part of that 32nd verse, but have pleasure in them that do them, I think of television and all the wicked videos, the magazines that portray wicked deeds, terribly wicked deeds, that we literally invite into our homes and we use as babysitters for children. Not that every program is bad, but you can hardly watch a good program without seeing the evil with it and the portrayal of what is to come, or programs that will come in the following hours or days. It is a terrible thing. And if you are in agreement with it, you are in danger of being guilty, as God says, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Those that buy the filthy magazines and watch the terrible videos and go out after them are guilty of this and are worthy of death. Not just a rebuke, not just some punishment in time, even by government. Some are when they go too far in the way of this beyond what society will accept, but worthy of death. It's that of which God says such a person must die. Die for those sins. And you may scoff at it. You may argue against it. You may not agree with it. But it's going to take place. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. How many people can you find that have continued to live, that were born over 100 years ago? You may say, well, people die because they're old. No, they die because they're sinners. Even in the beginning, God allowed men to live 600, 700, 800, 900 years, and then shortened their life and stated what it would be. God is in control. And the whole problem is here, as we read in the beginning, verse 28, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't want to think of Him. They didn't agree with Him. They wouldn't submit to Him. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I read in a book of the five lies that are so much propagated in our nation and have been for the last number of years. I have it at home. I was going to take it along and read some of the excerpts from it. I forgot to do that. But in thinking of those lies that are propagated, ungodly, they come from the devil. In our last message, we considered the word murder in the middle part of the 29th verse. Where does murder and where do lies come from? The Lord Jesus said to the Jews of His day, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." If you are one that want to believe lies and think that murder is all right, the murder of the innocent unborn, and you call it rights, and you want to propagate immorality, and see the filth and agree with it on television and magazines and videos, you are following the devil. You are listening to him. And as Christ says, you are of your father, the devil. when John wrote his first epistle, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's just that plain. And I want to emphasize again, Scripture is true. That word cannot be broken. We read of how people have attacked it through the years. I saw a picture of one pictured as if he's attacking the Word of God. And many feeble men have tried that. They have spent their life doing it, and then they died, as the Scripture said they would. And the Scripture continues to stand. As I said, you don't find people of 200 years ago. They're all dead. But the Scripture that was written thousands of years ago is here. And it continues to stand. Part of what was written thousands of years ago was fulfilled 1, 2, 3, and 4,000 years later. Things were written beforehand, particularly of the birth of Christ. We have written today that this world will come to an end, and judgment will come. And we also have written what men will do. They will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of the Lamb. That's all going to take place for any and all that do not want to believe these words, that would rather be filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness, maliciousness, being full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. And it goes on. As I said, we considered the word murder last week. The devil is a murderer from the beginning, and he is the instigator of murder within our hearts, the hatred that we have and naturally are inclined to do rather than love God and love our neighbor. The next word we find is debate. We consider that also somewhat. This word is not to be debated. It may be discussed. We sometimes have problems understanding it, and in that way we might debate exactly the meaning. But there are many things that are very, very plain that cannot be debated. And whenever we come to an understanding of what the word says, that is not to be debated. It is a word of authority. It comes from God, who is the final authority. Not you, but Him. Not me, but Him. He is the authority. He speaks, and it will be done. When Job, a very God-fearing man, was put through much trial by Satan, questions arose and even some rebellings. But God came to him and said to him, pointing out the many things in nature, where were you when I did this? And where were you when I did that? The evolutionists might not want to hear that and believe it, but it's true. And I think every evolutionist deep down in his heart fears it to be true and possibly knows it to be true. He's trying to fool himself and others. But God is God. God is the creator of this world, and God is the giver of His holy and righteous word. And it is not to be debated. It is not to be denied. We are rather to tremble at it, and if we do tremble at it rightly, we will rejoice in this word. Trembling leads to peace. Trembling leads to rejoicing. Trembling leads to being so thankful that we have this word to lead us out of darkness, to deliver us from Satan, to deliver us from ourself. Don't debate it. Believe it. Come as a little child and humbly receive it. Debate often leads to what the next word tells us, deceit. Jeremiah wrote 600 years before the Lord Jesus was born, 2,600 years ago now. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's your in my heart. That's how God describes it. And it's true. If left to ourselves, and especially if given over to a reprobate mind, if God does not restrain us when we are unconverted, when we are still dead in sin, we will go more and more in the way of deceit. We not only deceive others, we deceive ourselves. Paul wrote to Timothy stating, "In meekness instruct those that oppose themselves. Peradventure God may grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they might recover themselves of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." When God gives us the exact opposite of what is written here, God gave these over to a reprobate mind, and they went terribly into these sins. They were filled with all unrighteousness. They were full of envy. It was terrible. And it is terrible if God gives us over, a society is given over to the lie, and we are headed in that direction. We can see it in government. We can see it in our homes. Sadly, the world is influencing the church more than the church is influencing the world. We need to not anymore retreat, but we need to attack the lie. We need to expose what's described here. These terrible things, deceit. There's deceit taught in our schools. Deceivable ways. And so many things. When we have, and some of the lies that I read the other day were described in words that were spoken by leaders of the National Educational National Association, the NEA. Terrible what they want the teachers to teach. I've heard of association meetings where some have stood up and said that the parents ought to have a say, and he was mocked, put down. Teachers want to be the ultimate authority. God is their authority as well as yours and mine. And what a terrible thing it is if children in their tender age, in their growing years, are led in deceitful ways, deceived about where we came from. Evolution is a lie. Deceived about politics. Deceived about morality. Deceived about the wonderful blessing of a husband and wife that can be married and established a home. Deceived that homosexualism is just another lifestyle, when it is filth, when it is wicked, when it leads to death, both temporal death and eternal. Deceived about abortion as simply a way out and supposedly safe sex taught. It'd be like saying safe speeding, safe killing, safe lying, or safe drunkenness. Lies, deceit, filled with it. And our nation is becoming more and more filled with it, and sadly being emptied of righteousness. And not only that in teaching, but in the blessing of righteousness, the blessing in our homes is fast fleeting away. Just think of how many homes have to be built. We talk about the homeless people. Why? Because a husband and wife do not want to live in the same home. Do not want to live together. So there has to be two. That's one of the reasons there's homelessness. There used to be the poor widows. Now there are the wicked divorced. And it's deceit. And it's a terrible thing. And it's another one of the things that our government so lamely goes along with. I've sat in the courts and watched divorce proceedings take place. You'd almost think they're just passing the day as if nothing is happening. When God says so plainly, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And God said by the Old Testament prophet Malachi, he hates putting away. These judges do it as if it isn't anything. Just pass it on and away with it. It's another area of deceit, as if that's a right and if it's something permissible. Oh, if we would only seek to work reconciliation, and if we would only come in repentance toward God, if we would only find the blessing, as I read from verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul is talking in these last verses about those who don't believe, those who do not want to retain God in their knowledge, and certainly don't have him in their hearts. All they have left is sin and death. Oh, what an opposite picture and what a wonderful picture when Paul could say of the gospel, the good news, that Christ died for such sinners and for those who will come out of the mass of sinners and believe in God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way and there's no other religion. All religions except one are based on man's works, on man pulling himself up by the bootstraps, on man being in the mire and hoping that somehow toward the end of his life or in the end of his life, he won't be in deep enough to drown in perdition. That's the best other religions can give you. Or they can teach some morality. They can teach some even good things, as well as teach many lies. But the gospel is the truth. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that we can be saved from unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, and malignity, and whispers, and backbiters, and all the rest that we'll deal with more, Lord willing, in our next message. Today, I want to warn you that what God says here is true, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. If we follow the way of sin, death will follow that. If we hear God's word and believe it and repent and then look to his Son whom he gave, and I would say as John the Baptist did, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, then we have a power of God to be forgiven and a power of God in salvation that gives all that we need. Oh, look to God and look to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, today. Join us next time.